It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and riding with me, as always, on this awesome beginning of the week two breakdowns is Adam Pfeiffer, my co-host. So, the fantasy season is lit. Like, we saw all the action in week one. It's time for week two. Adam, what's up, man?
The thing about football is, obviously Sundays are, like, you know, holidays for us. It's, like, best day ever. Get to just sit, analyze, and watch football all day. I love the process from, you know, Tuesday to Saturday night of just research and analysis and updating for injuries. Like, that is my favorite thing. And keep in mind, I do baseball and basketball as well, but that is probably my favorite thing of anything I do in terms of content and research and work, is the process from, you know, that Tuesday to Saturday night and you know, Sunday until, you know, 1 o'clock as well in football. It's my favorite thing ever. I love it.
Dude, I'm ready to go, man. Look, we have got week two staring us in the face right now, and it is time to break this down, man. Like, there are so many edges to be gained based off of what we saw in week one. So on today's episode, we're going to talk about every single week. This is our trade four episode. So we're going to give you four players to trade for, four players to trade away. But before we get this kicked off, man, got to remind people, head over to @ChalkFade on Twitter. You need to get in this giveaway. We still have the signed mini helmet for Kenny Golladay, ready to get this bad boy shipped out. RT the pin tweet. Give us a rate review on iTunes. Send us that screenshot, and you're in it to win it. We're inching closer and closer to 100 reviews. Once we hit that, it's going out. So follow us on Twitter. Get ready to get entered. All right, Adam, so before we get to our trade players, let's hit these news items first. So we heard, it came out yesterday, it's official, Michael Thomas is going to miss a few weeks. I think this just makes Alvin Kamara the focal point of the offense. Like, dude has in his range of outcomes, like CMC usage, it bumps up everybody else. So we talked about Traquan Smith on waivers, you need to be going and getting him. But for me, I think everybody gets a bump, especially Alvin Kamara, but it makes more players relevant, like, say, like you were talking about before we turned the mics on, Jared Cook. But what do you think about this?
Yeah, we talked about how he said he was going to try to play through it, but we both were kind of like, yeah, it's going to be pretty difficult, and now, you know, they're already expecting him to be out this week and probably, you know, a handful of weeks after, so yeah, I'm going to, you know, I didn't expect a Michael Thomas injury, but I was completely off of Jared Cook this year, and he's probably going to be, I mean, he had, what, 5 for 80 in week one? He's probably going to be like a top 7 tight end until Michael Thomas is back. There's still going to be, you know, some volatility with Traquan Smith and Emmanuel Sanders, just because this is still an offense that's going to be, and they probably run the hell out of the football now. We saw Latavius Murray get 15 carries last game, and Kamara still had, you know, 12, and he's obviously going to catch a ton of passes too. So we already started to see that, you know, that first year, the Saints defense, remember the Saints defense was the worst in football. They were the best team to target for fantasy. Once they got better, they were a lot more committed to the run. Their defense is still very good. So I think they just, this might be a situation where Latavius Murray might, especially after getting 15 carries in week one, he might be like the most overlooked part of this. He might have, you know, we've always talked about Latavius Murray being maybe the best backup running back in fantasy football. He might have some standalone value now if they just run the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. They could definitely go just like extremely run heavy. They've got the offensive line to do it. So I really, really like that point, because it's possible we could see them going more run heavy and
they,
see this.
They mentioned like how they felt like they needed to get more consistent of getting him involved earlier in games and not just like when they're, you know, ahead late. And we saw it. I mean, he got 15 carries, and it's not like 8 of those or 9 of those carries came in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. Like, he got a lot of that early. So Kamara's going to get his, you know, 12 to 15 carries as well, and he's probably going to catch, you know, 7 passes a game now. But I mean, Latavius Murray, if he gets, you know, 13 carries a game, he's more than just, you know, a backup.
Yeah, I like that point. All right, so let's move on. So Le'Veon Bell is headed to the IR. And just to point this out to everybody, that means he is out for 3 weeks. This is not the long, like, forever IR that we used to have. He's out for 3 weeks. I think this is a firm avoid. I don't even care about this backfield. I don't care about Frank Gore. It doesn't matter if he's going to get 12 touches. I talked about it in the Discord yesterday. Everybody's like, oh, what about Frank Gore? I'm like, just so we're clear, no week is ever Frank Gore week. So
you're right,
I don't really care.
Week.
Oh, God.
Is Adam Gase, like, is he like, quietly the happiest man in the world? Like, he gets to give Frank Gore and Kalen Ballage significant carries this week?
I mean, you know, he's probably just sitting there just, I put it out on Twitter. I was like, he's probably just sitting there like, oh, yes, just quietly stewing, like, yep, Le'Veon, you ain't getting this backfield back, dude. It's really sickening.
Listen, and Elliot Christ, you know, he may be, you know, just a sad Jets fan, but he called us all offseason, man. He said this is the worst team in the NFL, and especially with Jacksonville after week one, like, the Jets probably going to be picking first this year, man.
Look,
they're,
hey,
such a bad team.
They are. They're absolutely atrocious. I mean, we have discussed this. It was Jameson Crowder or nobody all offseason. I know you had a little bit of Herndon love, but it's a terrible offense. It's a terrible situation. No matter how you slice it, it's just nasty. All right, let's move on, dude. Phillip Lindsay looking doubtful for week two. I actually think – so there was a report that – he was going to get a second opinion. Usually, a lot of times when players are going to go get a second opinion, it means the first doctor didn't tell them what they wanted to hear. At times, it can be to go get different medical opinions. But with turf toe, things like that, it's probably not the case. I think he's going to miss a few games. What do you see? I mean, I really like this from Melvin Gordon. I know he's got a terrible matchup this week versus the Steelers, but... you know, if Melvin Gordon can cement himself and show out, like, Lindsay might not get a piece of this backfield back.
Yeah, and minus the fumble on Monday night, I thought Melvin Gordon looked pretty good.
Yep, agreed.
Lindsay was in there on some pass-catching downs and some goal-line stuff before he got hurt. So, yeah, turf toe, I mean, we saw Davante Adams last year, different position, but he... And, you know, some players have different mindsets. Adams' mindset was, I'm not coming back, especially with turf toe. He pretty much said, I'm not coming back until I'm, you know, I'm confident I can play at a close to 100%. So he missed, you know, four weeks or so. I mean, they're already calling him doubtful for this week. He's getting a second opinion. I'd be shocked if he played in the next 2 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, Melvin Gordon, it might be the worst matchup in fantasy this year, running backs against Pittsburgh. We saw what they did to Saquon Barkley. But he's also going to get 20 touches. And, look, I mean... there aren't many running backs that are going to get 20 touches a week. So Melvin Gordon's probably still a low-end running back to flex. I would temper expectations if starting him. But, again, he's going to get 20 touches and he's going to get the goal line work. So, yeah, and I thought he looked good. So his matchups, by the way, the next couple weeks are pretty bad, but then it gets a lot better. But, yeah, the volume seems to be in Melvin Gordon's favor right now.
Agreed. All right, so we heard Twitter kind of just blow up yesterday about Allen Robinson. Is he going somewhere? Is he not?
I hate player deleted team from social media, Twitter.
Well, it's knee-jerk analysis, man. It's just like, oh, my God, he's going to go to the Patriots.
Well, here's,
go somewhere. Like, that's not going to happen.
Here's the other thing, right? Why was it so shocking? We know Allen Robinson hasn't been happy.
Exactly.
Why is everybody all of a sudden like, oh my goodness, Allen Robinson, does this mean he's not happy in Chicago? No, his we've known that he hasn't been happy in Chicago.
His agent came out and said they did not request a trade. And Ryan Pace, for as dumb as he is in some of the like head-scratching moves, if he trades Allen Robinson away, he's basically signing his pink slip. Like, bye. I'm just packing my bags. Like, he's not going to do that. The Bears, any hope of saving his job is tied to the Bears making the playoffs. And I'm sorry, baby. That ain't happening if you get rid of Allen Robinson. They don't even have a shot.
I mean, their biggest question mark is quarterback, obviously. Agreed. So you want to take away... I keep forgetting about Allen. Like, all right, it's him and Robert Woods, two most underrated receivers in the NFL. But Allen Robinson is better than Robert Woods. I'm not gonna lie about that. But he's just like, you're not going to get any production out of Mitchell Trubisky if Allen Robinson's not there. And then your offense is, I mean, if they lose, if they trade Allen Robinson, I mean, they're already a bottom 5-6 offense. They'll be like, it'll be the Jets and the Bears probably. Then there's all these rumors. Yeah, Zach Ertz is going to go to the Bears because he has, you know, a track record with some of the coaches there and the way they use tight ends. And then Allen Robinson's going to the Eagles because they need, like, I don't think anything's going to happen. I don't. I think if the Bears have any sort of semblance of an IQ, they will extend this man. I mean, look at this. Tariq Cohen and Anthony Miller on Twitter just extend Allen Robinson. Like, listen to your players.
Yeah, I mean, I think they could give him a short contract, bump up the money in the short term. You know, it really doesn't matter. Like, they cannot pay him, and it doesn't really matter. So, anyway, moving on, another signing, 49ers sign Mohamed Sanu. This is meh, fun. Whatever. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, I would not project Sanu as anything more than a wide receiver 4 at best, and probably a wide receiver 5.
Here's a question,
5.
Though.
So,
would you play him in DFS this week if Kittle's out? It's the Jets.
Hell no.
It's the Jets.
Hell no. I would play, I would roll out one of their running backs. I would roll out Jordan Reed.
Yeah, McKinnon looked like a thing in the passing game for sure on Sunday.
So, yeah, like if you're going to, yeah, there's no way, man. Like I can't play Sanu and really, until we get some of these wide receivers with that are not totally washed, healthy, yeah, I'm not touching Sanu, man. He's not a pickup. He's not even worth discussing outside of just a news blurb.
No, I tend to agree.
All right, Adam, kick us off here, man. Trade 4. So give me your 2 guys that you are going to be getting on your rosters after week 1.
Yeah, so week 1 is tough because a lot of us are going to overreact and everything, especially if it's on players that, you know, we drafted in the first, second round. And Joe Mixon didn't have a great game on Sunday, but I don't care, man. Like, I care. Like, obviously would have liked to have him score 20 points instead of, you know, 5, but horrible, horrible mismatch between the Bengals offensive line and the Chargers defensive line. You talked about it on the podcast, how the addition of Linval Joseph is going to help that run defense. And the huge concern for a lot of people on Twitter was he only had 2 targets and Giovanni Bernard was in the 2-minute drill. And I'm sitting here like, you understand that's always been the case, right? I understand he got that contract extension, but first of all the 99% of fantasy drafts occurred before he got the extension. So you can't even say, like, when you drafted him that you were expecting more work in the passing game because he got paid, because that wasn't a thing yet. So I don't understand why people are freaking out. We overlooked this, too, with a lot of these backfield situations. There was reports heading into week 1 that a lot of teams might use a little bit more of a rotation than normal at running back because of the weird offseason. We saw it with Miami. Miami used Howard, Breida, Miles Gaskin got a lot of work, and even Patrick Laird got work. We saw it with Baltimore. So maybe Mixon just gets a little bit more playing time. Like, he didn't play a ton of snaps in week 1 compared to what he usually plays. That could easily go up in week 2, and it probably will, especially against Cleveland, who can't stop the run. They give up 2 touchdowns to Dobbins. Their linebackers are terrible. I would love to trade for Joe Mixon right now if somebody is freaking out over him, because at the end of the day, what do you have, 21 opportunities, targets, and carries? If you're worried about 21 touches in 2020, I don't know what to tell you. So, yeah, I'm on a scale of 1 to 10 for Joe Mixon, I'm worried at 1. I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, no, I like the call because people are freaking out. Like, they're looking at box scores or fantasy points that guys scored or didn't score and all these other types of things. And it's like, look, like what we're talking about, if you looked at this as a plus matchup walking into week 1 for Joe Mixon, you're looking at the wrong things. Yeah. So,
and that game was so gross. The Chargers play so slow. It was terrible. Like, yep. I literally said, like, I don't want to play my players in DFS against the Chargers. Like, obviously, you're starting Mixon no matter what. But, like, they are slow. They are a good defense even without Derwin James. And they have depth on their defense. So, yeah, much, much better days ahead for Mixon. And it's going to start on Thursday night against the Cleveland Browns. So, yeah, 1 to 10. I am at a 1.
Okay. All right. Who's your next guy here?
Yeah, I'm going to go to DJ Chark. I know he scored. And they're, like, again, a lot of people would just, like you said, box score watch. You know, he only had X amount of targets, but that was an outlier game for Jacksonville. Like, they impressed. I understand they looked much better than anybody thought. This is still going to be, you know, one of the bottom five teams in the league. Talked about with Minshew on the Waiver Wire podcast that this team is going to throw the ball 40-plus times more often than not. Like, that's would you say that those 20 pass attempts from Minshew are going to be the fewest he's thrown in the game all year? I would say it's a lock, like an absolute lock. Agreed. So the fact that that touchdown he scored was a scheme play for him, they're going to continue to do that. I love Visca, but he ain't close to DJ Chark in terms of, you know, the alpha on this team. And I just, again, I think it's, like, if you're getting those, what do you score, 10 fantasy points in a game where they throw 20 times, imagine when they throw 45 times. So if anybody's worried about DJ Chark, go get that man, because he looked good, he is good, and we talk about it, but Gardner Minshew's quietly pretty good. So, yeah, I'm totally in on DJ Chark. He is going to see a lot more targets probably as soon as this week.
Yeah, I love the call. I mean, I think this is probably one of the lowest floor games you see for Chark all season. So, yeah, all in. All right, my two guys. I have discussed him all offseason, and I got to get it in here because I think that if we're talking about box score watching and such, people are still going to underrate what David Johnson did in week one. Because all the haters, as soon as they were checking his wrist on the sideline, they're like, oh, see? He's going to be hurt. And then he comes back in the game, and then you see Twitter just magically go crickets again because he played so freaking good versus the Chiefs. 16 yards before contact per attempt, and that offensive line was getting pushed up front. He was first in yards after contact per attempt. You look at this offensive line that he ran behind. They are underrated. And the thing about it is that I think David Johnson, does he have a great matchup this week versus Baltimore? No. But the Ravens over the last 2 years have given up chunk plays to running backs. If you look at even last year, they were 16th in second level yards, 29th in open field. And after week one, they were 25th in adjusted line yards, 30th, 31st in second and open field yards. If David Johnson gets into space, he's going to rip off some big plays here. So anybody staring it down and saying, well, he had an okay week one, and now it's a terrible week two, you need to put out offers for David Johnson. Because his schedule, after the Ravens, he gets the Steelers, which is god-awful, okay? So if you wanted to wait until after these two matchups to, like, for his value to possibly bottom out some more, I'm not going to tell you, like, don't do that. But I'm telling you, you need to put in offers definitively before this stretch of games just to put out feelers. Because if another, like, fantasy GM comes back to you after these two games and says, hey, well, I know you were interested in David Johnson. What will you trade for now, like, after the next two games? Because this schedule, like, opens up, Adam. So he gets Minnesota, Jacksonville, Tennessee, the Packers, and then Jacksonville again. That is a fantastic, fantastic five-game stretch where David Johnson is going to be a lock, set, forget, top 15, top 20 play every single week, and he's got ceiling for more. Because even last week, that is probably going to be the median, if not the floor, for his volume weekly moving forward. So I'm all in, man. Like, I love David Johnson. I'm about to get to two other pass catchers that I know that you love. I got into the outline before you because I figured, all right, if Adam's not going to get in here soon, I got to talk about the Bills wide receivers. John Brown and Stephon Diggs are two players you need to get on your rosters because what we saw week one out of this Bills passing attack was just a transformation. Josh Allen had his first 300-yard passing game, and people are like, okay, well, do you believe that? They were winning this entire, they were smoking the Jets this entire game, and the Bills didn't go away. They did not shy away from tossing the ball. They ran a ton of four wide receiver sets, and they went play action at the second highest rate of any team week one. This team flipped the script, and it is, we need to understand that they changed it up. They absolutely changed up everything that they did last year.
It's almost as if somebody on this podcast said they're going to open up their playbook for Josh Allen in year three.
You call called it, man. You called it. And I love it because these two wide receivers can be, you can get them on your team for probably what is going to be their floor for the rest of the year. Because if we see Allen and he is going to chuck the ball like this, we know that the deep passing is in his wheelhouse. We know that he can do that. But last week, for two receivers that ranked 57th and 53rd in ADOT, and they went so heavy on the short passing game, and if Allen can do that, and if the volume spikes, and the creativity in this offense, like, plus, you saw he still retained the goal line back, the rushing equity. If he has all of that, and the stars align, this passing offense is going to go to the moon this year. So I think you firmly have to put out offers, and people are looking at it and saying, okay, well, he scored, but John Brown was the only guy that got in the end zone. I mean, is it really that big of a deal? One of them got 10 targets, the other one got 9. Like, they're going to sit there and get the volume. So put out offers, try to get them on your teams, man. I love them for the rest of the season.
I think it's really interesting if they – I think it's a combination of the Jets' run defense is really good, so let's just kind of run four wide, spread their defense out, and just pick them apart because their secondary is terrible. And like I said, they are opening the playbook more for Josh Allen this year. They're going to be tough to cover on a weekly basis because Stephon Diggs, you know, he had a very good game. He didn't have like a, you know, 152 touchdown game, but he looked awesome. He gives this offense a completely different dimension. And now John Brown, where would you rank John Brown in terms of number two receivers on an NFL team? Because it's not just from what he did on Sunday. Like, he's been really good all year, and he was incredible last year as the wide receiver one on this team. And now he's going up against number two and number three corners. So, and then you have Cole Beasley in the slot. They're running screens to Dawson Knox, who is like Derrick Henry in terms of like when he has the ball in his hands, just bowling people over. And then you have the running backs who are going to be better than they were on Sunday. So, yeah, John Brown's good, man. Just really
good.
He's
so dang good. And I talked about him in DFS on the Friday stream with Pat Mayo over at the site. And I was like, look, everybody's going to overlook John Brown. And I think it's a mistake. And what did we see, man? He got into the end zone, had a great day. So I'm all in on it, man. So let's flip the script here. Look at the other side of the coin. Who are two players that you're like, oh, after week one, I got to get rid of you?
Mark Ingram scares me now. I was expecting a really good game in week one because of the matchup, and then I was thinking, okay, he still has a couple other really good matchups, but this is another team where it's like, did they use multiple backs because it's kind of that week one thing where, you know, a weird offseason will kind of make sure everybody's fresh, or is it just going to be a 50-50 split? And Dobbins gave them no reason not to keep playing him. I know his, you know, yards per carry and everything like that weren't great, but he did kind of the little things in this game. Like, when Lamar Jackson scrambled and took off, J.K. Dobbins was blocking incredibly well, and that kept him on the field. So he got the two goal line touches and scored on both of them. And Greg Roman said that they're going to use multiple backs, and they did that. So, yeah, I mean, you have opportunities that if, you know, Ingram's got Houston and Kansas City this week, the next 2 weeks, then Washington and Cincinnati before Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. And that's your time, because Houston, Kansas City, Washington, and Cincinnati are all solid matchups. Then he has Philadelphia and Pittsburgh right before the bye. So if he has one of his, you know, two touchdown games during then, I would look to trade him.
Yeah, I like that call. All right, who's your next player?
I like the player, but if you can get something for TJ Hockenson, I would try. I know he had a good game, but I mean, come on, Kenny Galladay was out. Like, they were relying on Quintez Cephas for a lot of this game. Like, it's an opportunity to just say, okay, look at the situation. Galladay's going to be back eventually, maybe this week. And I would still prefer a lot of tight ends over Hockenson. I think I'd prefer Noah Fant. I would definitely prefer Dallas Goedert. Like, those are guys you could possibly trade to get and trade away Hockenson. So I like the player. I just think, especially with Amendola really involved, Marvin Jones is still there. Now they have three running backs as opposed to two. I just think it's going to be inconsistent usage for Hockenson.
Yeah, and I mean, it needs to get mentioned here that Cephas got 10 targets as a rookie in his first game. So if Galladay misses any more time, I mean, Hawkins is going to have to fight with not only like Amendola for targets, but Cephas as well, because he slotted straight into the Galladay role, and we saw him get heavy, heavy usage in this game. Now, I know that the counting stats at the end of the day weren't there, but the volume and the target share were. All right, man. So two running backs that I got to mention here that I was off, I was did not want any exposure to a lot of different times considering where they were going in drafts. And if you can, I think they both had outlier week ones. There were a lot of concerns. If you can get rid of them for even value, heck, if not even more, I've got to get rid of Todd Gurley and Chris Carson. Todd Gurley, I know he got into the end zone. And people are going to say, I mean, he got some work. He got into the end zone. If you look at what he did underneath the surface, like outside of the fantasy points scored, he was 25th in yards after contact per attempt. I told you walking into the season, his ability to break tackles, his elusiveness is gone. Like, that's yesteryear. That's gone. That's in the rear view. It ain't coming back, man. So, for a player that we know cannot create on his own, and you were like, okay, well, he's going to be a volume play. He's going to get touches. There's no concern. It's Brian Hill and Edo Smith. They're not going to take work away from him, right? The snap share for Todd Gurley was immensely concerning. You saw Edo Smith get 20 snaps. Brian Hill got 12. Gurley only got 36. And if you're looking at passing downs, which we know the Falcons are going to be passing, Gurley had 16 snaps. Edo Smith out-snapped him when they passed the ball. He got 18 and Hill got 13. This was a three-way split if you're not looking at it outside of touches. And so with Gurley, even the passing game role, he split that straight down the middle with Brian Hill and Ito. Like, he got five targets, and the other two combined for the other five targets. He got less than a 10% target share. You look at his, like, the schedule opening up. He gets Dallas, Chicago, and then it gets really good. So, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, that his schedule walk coming up is not really, really juicy. Because then he gets the Packers, Carolina, Minnesota, Detroit, and Carolina again. But the thing about it is that a lot of those passing defenses suck too. So it's not to say, like, you're really betting on him getting volume. And if he doesn't get that, and then Atlanta's just like, well, we're just going to throw. We're going to attack these secondaries because we can. Then anybody staring at his schedule could be looking at fool's gold moving forward, because Gurley, yeah, I can't tell you that he's going to get a lot of work or he's going to own the backfield.
But then you also have four matchups coming up between the Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are probably three of the five best run defenses in the NFL, too. Not great.
Exactly. No, it's not good, Bob. It's definitely not good. And so on to the next guy where it's not good, but if you could get rid of him based off of just fantasy points scored and people just box score watching or looking at their lineups and saying, woo, Chris Carson got two touchdowns. You got to put out offers, because the fact of it is that, Adam, out of all the things that happened in week one, could you see Chris Carson getting a 17% target share at any other game for the rest of the season?
No, I completely. I wrote about Carson for week one. I was like, yeah, this is a decent matchup for pass catching running backs, but not exactly for just, you know, between the line, just up the middle, you know, running backs without pass catching usage. And of course, it's the complete opposite happens, where Carson gets two receiving touchdowns and barely carries the football. So, yeah, that felt great to see that happen.
I know, man. And so he got six targets, caught all of his targets, and then got in the end zone through the air twice. But if you look at, like, how he was used outside of the passing game role, which we're talking about is not sustainable, even if they hashtag let Russ cook, even if that happens, we can't definitively say that his passing game role is going to continue moving forward. Because if you look at the early downs, he split work with Carlos Hyde. Carlos Hyde actually out-carried him in this game. And if you look at the red zone role, Carson didn't even get a rushing attempt inside the red zone. Travis Homer got one late, and Carlos Hyde got the other one. So whether it's pass game usage, whether it's red zone usage, heck, whether it's health, pick your narrative. Pick your reason. I don't think that you need to keep Chris Carson. You need to get rid of him. You need to put out offers for him and sit here and say, okay, like, because put it this way. Other guys, like, if you could flip, like, say, Chris Carson and a low wide receiver three for Joe Mixon, would you do it, Adam?
Yesterday?
Yes. Another player that people are down on because they're so worried about Chase Edmonds and his receiving touchdown. But he got over 20 touches. He got a ton of work. If you could kick in something extra with Chris Carson, would you go get Kenyon Drake?
Yes.
And that's what I'm talking about, man.
Well, here's
if
the other thing.
If you have to do the mile pay up, I would do it.
Dude, Seattle, we heard this narrative, like, please, let Russ cook, let Russ cook. They did, like, I think that is the most overlooked aspect from week one. He dropped back to pass 10 times in the opening drive, 10 times, and finished with 35 passing attempts in a game Seattle led comfortably for the majority of the game. If they continue to let him cook, like, Chris Carson might catch more passes than he ever has. He ain't catching two touchdowns a week, and if that's going to limit his rushing volume, then, like, yeah, that's a little concerning. And, like, Rashad Penny's going to come back at some point. Like, they talked about using a committee to start the season, and they did that. They 100% did that. Like, Pete Carroll wasn't lying about that. So, by the way, completely unrelated note, but if – not unrelated, but if they do let Russ cook, he might be the quarterback one in fantasy because we know how efficient he is. But, yeah, that was really interesting that he threw the ball 35 times and dropped back to pass 10 times in the opening drive.
Absolutely. I think it's immensely interesting, especially from the fact that, like you're talking about, Russell Wilson is one of, if not the most efficient passer in the NFL. If he gets the volume this year, he absolutely can finish as the number one overall.
Either that or he's going to win his first MVP award.
Yep, I don't disagree with that at all because basically he's put that team on his back for years and years and years and years and made them look immensely smart for one, drafting him, and two, letting him do what he does, at least to the amount that they have in the past. All right, so that is all of our players to get on and off of your teams. Adam and I are going to be back one more episode this week. We're going to do the game-by-game DFS breakdown for this weekend. So get subscribed to the podcast. Get ready, baby. It is time to stack some cash. If you are not already signed up for FTN Fantasy, FTNDaily.com, what are you doing? Like, you need to get signed up today. Use the promo codes DBRO, so D-B-R-O, and Pfeiffer, P-F-E-I-F-E-R, at checkout. You can save 10%. Get signed up. Get ready to dominate your leagues. Get ready to stack some cash. We're going to be back. Let's get ready, man. Week 2 is on the horizon. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.